You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello. Welcome to ENN on this, the first ENN of 2021. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Do you hear about this guy Bean Dad?
I'd also like to say good evening to Michael again.
It was in a word. What's the word again?
Troubling.
Troubling.
Then I'd like to... By the way, why do I sound doubled there?
Because I said it at the same time.
Wait, it's me and you?
Yeah.
Let me hear it again, please.
It was in a word. What's the word again?
Troubling.
Troubling.
Oh, my God. We were that lined up?
Yeah, we were lined up pretty good.
Wow. And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I don't want to judge people that do puzzles.
And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Don't scream at me on
this
show.
Don't defend him. And if I can I say good evening tonight to Andrew?
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
I think Andrew might win Drop Madness now.
He might.
I mean, that's a nether region drop.
He might win Drop Madness. I wonder, I really wonder if he could win that. Can I hear one more time?
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Wow. Sounds like Jackie Gleason.
And if Don didn't step on him when he yelled, "Don't yell at me on the show like that," if that's isolated, it's number maybe 1 and 2 seeds in the nether region.
Don't scream at me on
the
show.
Don't defend him.
And Don,
watch the replay of the show tonight.
The purity of Don, right? He had no idea that Andrew was angry.
Mm-mm.
Because this is what people do, especially in sports radio.
Get
every time
help.
I screamed at somebody, you really thought that I hated the person, was mad at the person, then
I mean, think about it.
Apologies to
he threatened to smack my face dead on the
I was making an
your face dead.
He threatened to sniff Tiger dead. We don't even know
he
what that means.
Love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
Don't talk to me that way. So Andrew, he didn't even threaten to kill Andrew. So this is light.
But it's not fair.
Andrew lives in a world where just everything is so perfect.
It was horrifying.
The place every day.
Oh, I Andrew is a very reasonable man. I was at the I watched the Super Bowl with Andrew and his family, and young Jack was. I think we were eating nachos. Is that right, Andrew? Does that sound right?
Or wings, something. Yeah.
And Jack. There was something else on the table, a food available, and Jack was reaching into it and being a little kid and like continuously grabbing at the food while he was also doing something else. The reasonable way in which Andrew asked Jack to stop being a three-year-old and sticking his hand, you know, up his nose and directly into the M&Ms or whatever it was.
You'll ruin everything.
It was like an episode of My Three Sons. My dad would have grabbed me by the elbow and just lifted me up and said, "Get out of here, creep." But that's not how Andrew does it.
No.
Well, it was also revealed earlier during this exchange that Andrew's never been yelled at in his life.
That's what I'm saying. And so,
he's never yelled at anybody.
He doesn't yell at his children.
I will fight you after this show.
And him and
even
Amanda.
He says that in a measured way.
Right. Yes. Think about that. Like, think about when he said he was jacked up, so jacked up that he'd eat horse poop. He's calm when he says it.
And I got to tell you,
I try
you
every
too,
day.
Michael didn't play a lot of organized sports. Peter, you did, but you're
did.
A little younger.
Sure.
you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, playing organized sports, you got yelled at all the time.
So
if I got picked off of first base, I was going to go back to the dugout. I was going to get an earful from my manager.
No, that's a good point, Don. I did think more about it, and I have gotten yelled at by coaches. Okay. I wasn't thinking about that before, and I've yelled at Jack twice. True yelling.
And you, but you're such a good dad and the measured person that you told me when it happened, and you felt horrible.
The two times I screamed at Jack, I felt sick afterwards. I really did.
I'll get over.
But let's translate what Andrew said. You know, don't yell at me on the show.
Right.
Is what he's saying is, who are you to raise your voice to me?
That's right.
Well,
right.
I mean, if you're screaming at someone, you're kind of treating them like they're, you know,
garbage.
I say this with all the love. Okay. I have every right to yell at you.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he yells at everybody.
I didn't yell at him because he did a poor job, you know, producing. That's a fireable offense. Who am I to do that? But in a sports conversation,
if I disagree,
I want to raise my voice. I've got every right to do that.
Now, and I actually was told, and I don't know if there's audio to back this up, a listener tweeted earlier about the idea that Andrew's never yelled, and they seem to firmly remember Andrew getting in a fight and screaming at Dave Rothenberg. Andrew, is that possible?
So the problem is the Eagles. They do something to me and bring something out in me because it was the day after Wentz tore his ACL.
Ugly moment.
This is pre-Eagles Super Bowl, so I hadn't had that yet.
No.
I kind of thought this was the end of their chances of winning one. And howdy comes of the studio, and he's grinning, he's skipping around, comes right up to my desk with that big Rothenberg grin, and he just says point blank to me, I can't tell you how happy I am he tore his ACL last night.
Which is
I did not scream at him, not the way that I did there, but I absolutely yelled at him. I raised my voice significantly. RJ just was there.
The whole idea of Dave with that body skipping makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, there's a lot of jiggly wiggly going on.
Wow.
At that time, he's tightened it up.
That's our new morning host you're talking to but right now. It's on every weekday morning.
Yeah, 5 to 8.
Can't believe you.
I'm gonna miss them terribly.
Now, real quick, did you get a little bit of joy then yesterday, Andrew, when Sudfeld came in knowing it was making Dave Rothenberg lose it?
That's a good point.
I mean, I said to you, Peter, before the game that my dislike of the Giants dwarfs that of Washington. So between the two, if I had to choose a team that the Eagles could control the fate of winning the division, I would rather see Washington win it than the Giants. I can say that, and I'm sure Giant fans feel the same way about the Eagles compared to Washington.
No, I think, well, you know, I think that the purest of the rivalries in the division are Washington, Dallas, and Philly, New York. Those are the purest of the rivalries. So it's a real hatred. That 95 rivalry is real, and I mean, God, here's my question for you guys, though. What does Al Michaels hate more?
Doing games or?
Doing games, the idea that COVID is real, or having to be PC with the Washington name change. Tell me what he hates the most. Because the snark that oozes out of him. Did you hear when he accidentally said Redskins at the end of the game, or Chris did? And he goes, I mean, they can't be mad. We've been good boys tonight. Okay. He's a bitter man, this Al Michaels. He's had a hell of a run.
Really?
I could not believe, though, he said that. What a great line. If the Eagles win this game, he said, I'm going to use a line I haven't used in 41 years. Do you think he would have said that, Don? Do you believe in miracles?
I guess he would have, if he thought about it.
Oh, but you mean would he have backed it up?
That, like, taking a phrase that belongs in Nordstrom's and all of a sudden putting it in John's Bargain Store. I mean, why would you cheapen history?
That's interesting.
Because he was pointing out, that's actually a good line. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm giving the guy a hard time, but that was good. Because he was pointing out, rightfully, that it looked like Sudfeld didn't give them a remote chance to play in the football game. Like, it was, did you guys notice at the end of the game? Because I was, of course, sweating. The last 2 minutes was a nightmare. Rivera obviously decided Alex was too hurt to throw the ball. They were just going to hand the ball to Gibson over and over again. And it's that horrible feeling in football of, oh, God, we're going to punt back again. And, of course, they're only up 6. So, Don, one fluke touchdown, and we're not winning the division. So I'm suffering through each play. And as I'm locked in focused, I couldn't help but notice Chase Young and the other guys in the front, they looked like they were just goofing off chasing this guy. Like, it didn't even look like real football.
No, they knew it was over. It just really.
Did you get the sense, irritating. Don? I mean, we know that Al seems like he dabbles in wagering.
Perhaps.
Seemed like he had the Eagles. Because he was really ticked off what the Eagles did.
No,
and I don't blame him. We were, too. We didn't have a bet.
But I do think he's a traditionalist. He's been around this sport a long time. I was kind of – somebody on Twitter is like, you're making – nobody thinks it's an embarrassment but you. You're creating narrative embarrassment. No. I think when – just – you know, going around Twitter, Chris Mortensen ripped it. You know, Sal Powell came on this air. Rich Eisen –
Seth Joyner of the Eagles, as Michael said?
It was embarrassing. And I think that the one thing about Al Michaels, he's been around for a long time, and never mind the integrity of the NFL, because sometimes the NFL does its own damage to its integrity, but just competition. It ticked a lot of people off last night, and it had nothing to do with the Giants. Giants won 6 games, okay? Giants really can't complain, especially the way they lost some of those 10 games. Big leads. 14-3 lead against Dallas.
Let's be real. They barely deserved yesterday. Barely.
And the team that deserved it would have been Washington, who won more games, won to get in, and now they're compromised because their win looks like, oh, well, the only reason you won the game is because Philadelphia quit.
I'm so glad
that's
you brought
that.
That's
not fair either.
Let's hear from Coach Ron Rivera after the game last night.
It's really a cool thing to come out and get the division. It's kind of a double-edged sword, though, because obviously, you know, we play Saturday night against Tampa Bay. We got the first place schedule next year, which, you know, is not going to be easy. But I think what it does is it just shows these guys that if they work hard, do things the right way, they give themselves a chance. And again, we got a young group of guys, a lot of young guys that have played a lot of football, meaningful football, and this is cool for them. This really is.
I understand, the first place schedule is 2 different games than everybody else. It's such a crock.
Does he lose his mind?
Wait, which part?
It's a double-edged sword because we're going to get a first place schedule and we got to play on Saturday?
Wow. You play your division, and then everybody in that division plays another division, and then there's 2 games that you play as a first place schedule. Ron, come back to us.
Wait, hold on. But to Don's point, he's saying it's a double-edged sword because they have to play a playoff game?
Because he's probably looking at it, we have no chance to beat anybody in the playoffs. So, we got the honor of winning at 7-9, but there's a negative attached. So it sounds ridiculous saying.
Oh, well, he's saying also he wishes they played Sunday. They played Sunday night and play Saturday.
Right,
That's what he's saying there, I guess.
Right, but just...
Well, I mean, but the Tampa Bay Bucks played Sunday night, played Sunday too.
Yeah, sure, but I guess they're Sunday playing afternoon. Night... You know, on the road, although it's not that...
No, it's not on the road. They're in Washington.
No, last night. But it's not that far from Philadelphia to watch. The double-edged sword would suggest that the negative is equal to the positive.
Right.
That's not the case here.
That is a bizarre statement. I didn't think. Come back to us, Ron. Now, he did go on to defend the win in terms of the criticism that exists because of the Eagles, and said he's not apologizing for winning. He said nobody complained when Pittsburgh did what they did against Cleveland. It's been a hard road for us, and nobody seems to care about that. Nobody cared 2 weeks ago when we didn't have some of our best players. Nobody cared last week when we didn't have them. So why should we be concerned if a coach decides to do something that's best for his team?
He shouldn't even have to answer it. He won the football game, but that's
Peterson
what happened.
Should answer to it, not him.
Yeah, because of what the Eagles did. I just think that it's really unprecedented how embarrassing this is.
By the way, while you were just playing that sound, Peter, Anthony Pusick just told me, Andrew on the phone screaming at Al Michaels now.
Is that true?
Yeah. Called up Al Michaels, who's screaming on his answering machine.
Wow. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him. Wow. Andrew, please get control.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
And Al still does have an answering machine, by the way.
Of course he does. Where do you think his bookie leaves the lines?
Right. Her name is Sylvia, and she writes down all of his messages.
All right, Al, I just got the golden nugget lines. Yeah. All right. -7.5 for Al the Redskins.
Al predates the answering machine.
Yeah. Well, it's only very old school casinos that are no longer. I'm at the Trop, and let me tell you something, Al.
The Dunes.
The Sahara. The Sahara Sportsbook says they got the Redskins -10.5, and it still says Redskins on the board.
The Chargers.
A lot of people are very upset you're wearing that hideous hat, Peter.
Well, he looks like Gizmo from the Flintstones.
Who's Gizmo?
What's his name?
Not Gizmo. Not Gizmo.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I know, but now you've ruined it.
Elroy?
No, it's not. Elroy was in the Jetsons.
What's wrong with you? The Great Gazoo.
Great Gazoo, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's when the Flintstones lost me, by the way.
That was their jump the shark.
Oh, it wasn't realistic anymore. Flying pterodactyls, that made sense to me.
Exactly. Come back to me, Fred.
Right. The Great Gazoo, that was it. I mean, Fred was actually hallucinating on mushrooms. That's the only reason he was talking to an alien.
You know, I got to come up with that. Maybe that could be a top five for tomorrow, because things are going to really grind to a halt after today.
No, they're not.
Oh, sure.
Jets are interviewing coaches.
I know, but all right,
Patrick Graham now, they're interviewing Patrick Graham of the Giants.
Those are very, like, it's very fluid, but it's not going to really generate
the Knicks might go on a run to win the East.
That's right. And by the way, and the Nets may be falling apart in front of us. Dinwiddie's out, and now KD's out for a week.
Right, so you're making my point. And I will, maybe I'll have a top five jump the shark moments on TV.
We haven't done that already?
No.
Will you have the actual jump the shark with the Fonz?
There's a lot of jiggly wiggly going on. Maybe.
All right,
that
guys.
Is where it comes from.
Yes, that's exactly where it came, which I never really understood. Like, jump the shark is when you put, you know, the Great Kazoo in there, and then you'd have Oliver joining Brady Bunch.
But
him jumping the shark really wasn't a jumping the shark moment, really, was it?
It might have been.
They felt it was. That's why it got the
name. I know.
By the way, the initial name of Oliver joining the Brady Bunch was Andrew Gunling.
Is that true?
Yeah, it didn't work with the censors.
All right, guys, the Chargers have fired Anthony Lynn after four seasons. They finished the season 7-9.
Can't believe they were 7-9. It seems like they lost every week for a while.
Well, guess what? That's because they were 3-9, Michael, and finished 7-9.
Well, there you go. You answered my question.
Lynn was 33-31 overall. It's just interesting, guys. Listen, we all agree Lynn made some terrible decisions when we watched them this year. Think about how much better he was than Gase. Think about how much better Anthony Lynn was than Gase.
I think you could make the point that Rich Kotite was better than Gase.
It's really special.
Now, there's an extra year there, but if you remember, well, it's not that long ago we were talking about, you know, what do they have in Adam Gase? The Jets went 6-2 at the end of the season. I think now, because, you know, one of the best points Andrew made about everything that happened last night is that this is not new. It might be new that they did it in the fourth quarter of a game on national television, but teams mailing it in, teams taking advantage of a light schedule, that's been happening for years. But the Jets still went 6-2. At the end of last year, which left the question, oh, well, maybe there's something here. And it wasn't. Maybe the Chargers read through that four-game winning streak at the end and said, no, we remember what happened in those first 12 games. We're not getting suckered into this again. We're letting you go. Because they played the Chiefs yesterday.
But the Chiefs didn't play
Mahomes. And I think the Chargers, maybe Andrew has it, I think the Chargers were like a 10-point favorite in the game. Like, that's like they didn't play anybody.
Let's hear from our very own Diana Rossini.
Please.
And by the way, do you know that if the Chiefs would have won yesterday, they would have been 15-1? Mm-hmm. No 15-1 team has ever even gone to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
They've all lost earlier.
Wow, that's so true.
That's interesting.
Minnesota.
By the way,
No.
Yeah, Minnesota was 15-1.
No, the Bears were 15-1.
The Bears were 15-1.
So who's giving you this?
It was a credible person on Twitter. Wow.
Vikings were 14-2?
No. The Vikings were 15-1. They lost. But he said
but they lost
no
the championship
15-1
game.
Team ever won the Super Bowl. The Bears went 15-1 and
you
won
sure?
the Super Bowl.
No,
am I
right.
sure?
Of course he's sure. The Dolphins were the only team that beat him.
Yeah, they were 15-1.
Yep. I take that back then. So that's the only one.
Either way. Also, man, I'll tell you what. You guys say what you want.
Please. We will.
The Bills are hands down the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
I gotta tell
it
you,
is not the Chiefs.
Right,
it is the Bills.
Now, at this moment, the Buffalo Bills are the best team in football.
There's not even a doubt.
Come on. They're not better than the Chiefs.
They are better than the Chiefs.
Take a look at the
they
Chiefs.
They are not
Forget
better
about
than
yesterday.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Take a look
beat,
at the Chiefs
beat
down
beat
the stretch.
The Chiefs struggle to beat everyone.
And they win.
But that's fine. But when you talk about dominant football, you do what the Bills did yesterday. They put in a backup and they threw up 55.
Right now,
they are in a zone, Mike.
I hope that the Bills play the Chiefs and the Chiefs will whack them.
Well, you know what? You and I will bet. Oh, perfect. If that happens, that game, you better put your money where your mouth is. Sniff them. Sniff them dead. Because if it happens, we could be fighting for the championship and the picks. And I will be picking the Bills over the Chiefs. No doubt.
Right now,
good.
At this
That's
moment.
That's a bet.
At this moment. Now, things can obviously change, but at this moment, the Bills are playing better football than any other team in the league. They're the best team in the league right now. They're crushing opponents. They've hit their stride.
Well, and
I know it's
Buffalo,
the ball. And they stuck them at 1:30 on Saturday because apparently their ratings death, and nobody wants to talk about the Bills. They are a fabulous football team, and they have every bit of chance to win the Super Bowl as anybody. I'll tell you this, they're way better than anybody else in the NFC.
By the way, they beat the Packers
right now. They played in my backyard.
Niners were 15-1. Andrew said when they lost Super Bowl 19, and Chris Carlin said when they won, Carolina Panthers were 15-1 when they lost to the Broncos.
And
I gave bad information. I apologize.
The 49ers were 15-1 and 84-1. Who is this person that gave you this information?
I'm going to find it, and then I'm going to out them.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's hear. Actually, I hear we have Joe Judge audio. Judge was asked about the results of the Eagles-Giants game.
I'll let Philadelphia speak for themselves on that in terms of how they approached the game. Look, real simply, I was in my office last night, watched our film from the game yesterday, and then I was actually watching our first Tampa game with the Philly-Washington game on in the background right there. So, look, there's been a lot made of that game, you know, internal or, you know, from the outside. Let me just be very clear on this. We had 16 opportunities this year. That's it. It's our responsibility to take care of our opportunities and to perform better and execute the situations when they're on our plate. We don't ever want to leave our fate in the hands of anybody else. So we're not going to make excuses in an organization. Not now, not ever. We had our opportunities. We need to learn from the lessons we have from this year and carry them forward. That's the experience you truly gain. But that's really the most important thing right there. I mean, our opportunities.
Well, when does the guy ever say anything wrong? That was the perfect tone.
Yeah,
perfect. Hey, that's Philadelphia. They'll discuss it. But, you know, it's on us. We could have won more games. Perfect.
I just like picturing him watching the Bucks footage and not even being alerted to it. And it gets to be 3 a.m. And they go, Coach, I got news for you. We're not playing the Bucks this week. It's time to move on. He goes, well, I'm knee deep. At this point, I'm going to go help Washington.
I would have loved to seen the Giants play Tom Brady again. They're 2-0 against him in the playoffs.
Now, the Alex Smith storyline is nice, but that storyline would have been pretty great, too. Like, is it just a Giants thing?
They played them tough this year, right? That was the Giants, wasn't it?
That play where the Giants had to go for two to tie the game.
Yep.
And there was a they picked up the flag on the pass interference. They lost the game. They're right there. And I think they were, you know, there's something about that matchup. And I know it's different teams and all that. And that's why you can't throw Washington's chances out the window either. How do you stop Tom Brady? You put pressure. And Washington right now, the way they're playing, can put pressure on Brady.
Yeah, but, you know, the Bucs could put pressure on Smith.
Oh, that's
Smith can't move at all.
That's the X factor. That's the problem.
I know.
You get a spread on that yet?
I'm very stressed on that. Let me take a look. That's a great – we know what, Don? I do. I have the entire lineup for this coming weekend. So here we go. Saturday lineup, the Colts at the Bills. Buffalo's favored by 6.5. I'm not going to tip my hand, but I think I've probably made it clear how I feel.
Yeah.
the Rams at the Seahawks. We've seen this before. A lot of divisional rivalry games here for a playoff weekend. So you have the Rams at the Seahawks. Seahawks minus 4.5. Then the 8:15, the Saturday night game, would be the Bucks at Washington. Well, not a lot of respect for this Washington football team. The Bucks are an 8-point favorite, Don.
That's deep.
That's a big number for a great defense, in my opinion. Sunday, the Ravens and the Titans, which is a very tough game to call. Baltimore is favored 3.5 at Tennessee.
The hook. Hmm.
The 4:40 game Sunday would have the Bears at the Saints, who are 10-point favorites. And then the 8:15, this could be a fun, fun divisional matchup if Pittsburgh does not play a disgusting brand of football, which they've done some of. Actually, both have had ugly brands of football at different points during the years. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 4.5-point favorite on the Browns.
I think that Roethlisberger in his career, could this be right, Don, is 23-2 lifetime against Cleveland?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, think how bad the Browns have been.
Yeah.
Question for you guys. I really don't remember. Are we picking all these games?
No. Three.
You new to the show or what?
Yeah, come on. You're better than that.
So we.
Is he really, Don?
So we pick three this week, and then next week, how many games are there total? Three?
Yeah, because then we'll be divisional rounds, so we'll have 2-2. Well, four.
That's what I'm saying. So we pick. We don't pick all four. We still just take three of the four.
Hey, listen, right. I'm willing to change. Michael's the one that gets hung up on, you know, not changing midstream. I'll pick every one of these games.
It would be fascinating to pick every single game here.
The Broadway show, Fiddler on the Roof, right?
Right, sure.
Tradition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand. Yeah. You're a man of tradition. Guys, Cam Newton is not in a
By the way, the video you made when you had the big week while we were off, in a word, disturbing.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I think you have an issue. Talk about me like hanging on the rim. That was really hanging on the rim. First of all, you're wearing like a robe that you stole from a hotel.
No, I was in a hotel. It was a robe.
Yeah.
At the hotel.
Not stealing it when you're wearing it.
You think I have a disco ball in my house?
Why would you be in a hotel that has a disco ball?
Because it's a hotel called the Dive Motel, and it's actually a brilliant place. And basically, they took this old dive motel, and they fashioned it into sort of an intentionally divey motel, and the rooms have disco balls.
Interesting.
It's actually, I love that place.
I like some of the, when you get to those, like, avant-garde type of hotels. Like every time, once in a while, I'll stay with them with the Rangers. We're just kind of goofy, like the light will be in a bird cage or something.
Yeah,
I mean some kind of. Like,
they have a party switch when you come in the room, and when you hit the party switch, the disco ball starts going and the music starts playing. And then Don, there are four buttons for the music. Sex.
No, I've got two questions though.
Well, let me finish.
I'm sorry.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, and sleep. And you can choose the music and the vibe of the room. It's fantastic.
Okay, so here's my two questions. Number one, with this room, does somebody from the front desk come up and blow up the doll, or does it blow up on its own? And number two, the bed bugs, are they included or not? Because dive hotels have bed bugs.
No, it's not a real, it's a nice hotel, though. It's just called the dive hotel.
Then how about the answer about the blow-up doll?
Why would there be a blow-up doll?
Well, it just sounds like that sort of place.
Wow, I don't even know. See, that it's what's telling about you. And this is why Sal Pal had the concerns that he did. Because you're a dark, devious man. I don't even know what you mean, a blow-up doll. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Michael's friend, Doug Marrone, is out in Jacksonville.
I texted him. He didn't text me.
That's a shame. Let's hear from Adam Schefter, who says there will be interest in the Jags job. That's a shocking take. Go ahead.
They have the number one overall pick. They have over $100 million in cap space. They've got 11 total picks. This becomes the number one job out there, with all due respect to all the others, because it offers so much. Mm.
Can you believe, though, that when the Jets lost Lawrence, or the chance to pick Lawrence, they say that that's the least desirable job now?
Yeah, I believe it.
Because if the Jaguars had finished second, even with the cap space, I don't think it would be as desirable.
Well, let me correct me
watching
if I'm
wrong. Lawrence, though, he wasn't that great against Ohio State.
But correct me if I'm wrong, the Jets are now at two, right?
Jets are at two.
And everyone this weekend was saying that Justin Fields might be as good as Trevor Lawrence.
Well, let's see Justin Fields against Alabama.
But that's a big – but by the way, talk about a big if. What if he lights up Alabama?
I asked Steve, is there any way that they could jump? I mean, wouldn't it be funny if the Jets ended up with Trevor Lawrence?
Or they end up just as happy and there's just as much of a thought process about moving Sam and taking Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, that one play that, I mean, I couldn't believe, he threw the ball 61 yards in the air.
By the way, did you know that his mother is Kim Fields?
No, I didn't know that, really?
No, I made that up.
What a jerk.
You know what? It's just believable enough to make somebody look like an ass. Like, you
thank
just
you.
Do with my...
you know what? Thank
why
you.
Would you do that?
Thank you, Don. Don't you think he deserved it? He does that stuff all the time.
I know, but still, it was so sensational. I feel bad for Michael right now.
No, but because now that I remember, his mother is the woman who owns Mrs. Fields Cookies.
See, that's what he would have done. Now, we have more coming down the pipe, more Joe Judge audio.
Really?
This is him saying that his team always plays to win.
Obviously, players have asked me throughout the day, and I just can't express that. I think one thing to keep in mind with this season is we had a lot of people opt in to this season. All right, coaches, players, that includes family members as well. To look at a group of grown men who I asked to give me effort on a day in, day out basis and to empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage and play them in a position of strength. To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling them practice is going to be canceled. We have to do a virtual day. Okay. To tell them, please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving. Please avoid Christmas gatherings. We know it's your wife's birthday. Let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Now that.
Well, I guess he did comment on the Eagles.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So disregard our first piece of audio because Joe Judge just ratcheted up the rivalry with the Eagles a little bit.
That was Piazza Clemens right there.
Wow. That's, you know what?
Woo!
Wow.
That was impressive.
That's a towel off moment.
That was, first of all, just it was articulated perfectly.
Well, yeah.
He didn't even stammer during it. I mean,
no.
that was somebody, he was speaking from his soul.
Yo, that was like Ric Flair cutting a promo on an episode of Nitro. I mean, that was beautiful.
Well, you got to respect the man because there was vitriol shooting out of his mouth.
You know what?
Wow.
It makes for the rivalry. It really does. It makes for the rivalry when these two teams hook up next year.
Let's wrap things up. Because we were all so focused on football that a lot of people might not have paid attention to Steph Curry absolutely lighting up the Blazers last night.
Hand off Curry, takes another three, it's up, and good! He hit it with a guy in front of him and a guy behind him! He's got 62!
That's from 95.7, The Game. Steph Curry, 62 points,
wow.
His career high. And also, I don't know if this surprised you guys. It surprised me. All the times we've seen over the last 2 years people score in the 50s, he was the first to get to 62 since Kobe.
Wow.
That's back a ways.
Yeah,
that was his last game, right?
Yeah, which surprised me because, we I feel like Dame has almost gone for that amount like six times. But
and boy, he
62.
Was getting a lot of grief, so he needed this. A lot of people say, oh, he's overrated. You know, it was the players around him. That he's changed the game of basketball.
He really has. 137-122, they beat the Blazers. That'll do it for this ENN on a Monday.
You know what I would like you to do from now on, Peter? It's going to take some attention, which you usually have. I think you say this is episode one of 2021. Tomorrow's episode two.
Ooh. Let's count
now,
them up.
Now, if they're two parts, though, it's
still
one episode.
Absolutely. Well, don't go crazy.
All okay. Right. All right. Got it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.